Pittsburgh Section, Oral History Number 2. My name is Marvin Herzog. My respondent's name is Leonard Skirball. Today is Thursday, June 18th, 1997. Mr. Skirball, to continue our questioning about Susan and Susan's children. What are their names?
Susan's married name is Susan Israelson. And her children are Alexandra Israelson and Harry Israelson.
And their ages are?
Alexandra is 11 and Harry is 8.
And their husband's name, Susan?
Susan's husband's name is Peter Israelson.
And Cheryl's husband's name?
Cheryl's husband's name is Gary Gerson, G-E-R-S-O-N.
All right. And Hillary's husband's name?
Mark Katzman, K-A-T-Z-M-A-N.
Now, can you tell me what their respective occupations are?
Yes, I can. Peter Israelson is a television director, commercial television director.
Is he in Pittsburgh?
No, he's in New York City. They're in New York City. And Gary Gerson is an attorney practicing in Pittsburgh. And Hillary's husband, Mark Katzman, is a professional photographer.
And he's in Pittsburgh?
He's in St. Louis.
Oh. Now, can you tell me about your in-laws? That is,
yes,
your wife's family.
Yes.
That would be the Martins.
Martins, yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Is he a Pittsburgher?
He was a Pittsburgher, yes.
And what was his occupation?
Oh, he entrepreneur many things. Lifetime. Bought and sold bankrupt stocks for merchandise for many years.
And he was born and brought up in Pittsburgh like that?
Yes, yes he was. He was really, they were originally from Manassas.
Now, what schools did Mrs. Skirball
She went to Alderdice.
Okay. And what about Mrs. Skirball's religious background? Was it Reform Judaism?
I'll go back to her. Her grandparents were Orthodox. Grandparents were, yes. And her father was between Orthodox and conservative in their thinking.
Were her parents originally Pittsburghers also?
Wives?
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Can you tell me about the respective children's education?
Sure.
Cheryl, for example?
Cheryl, while went to American University, graduated from American University. Susan, graduated from University of Denver. Hillary graduated from the University of Michigan. She has a master's degree in sociology.
Now, do they practice any given profession?
All three work, yes. Susan works for HBO, the television people, and Cheryl is in real estate, works in real estate. She actually works in the same office as my wife does. My wife's in real estate. She works in that office. And Hillary works for the St. Louis Community Center, Jewish Community Center.
Now, do they actively practice Judaism of your children?
No, they don't. No, they don't practice it. They are, it's hard for me to say that to
them. Do they identify?
They identify as Jewish, definitely identify as Jewish. It's a good word. It's the word I was looking for.
Leonard, let's talk about you for a moment. When you went into the family business, and then subsequently went into your wife's business, and you carried on with that, I suppose, for some time.
I was still there. Actually, that was a place for me to hang my hat. I'm mostly retired, but I go there every day. Have a place of food. I'm very fond of the Mount Washington people. I'm very close to the Mount Washington people, and I get to see the people, and something to keep me busy.
Do you have any hobbies?
No, not really. I like to read, and I used to play golf. Stopped that. And one of my hobbies, if it is a hobby, is my synagogue. And I do spend time there, doing some official work there, and praying there. I try to go there as much as I can. And I do make it a practice to go there at least three times a week.
Are you on the synagogue's board of
yes.
directors?
No, I've been a treasurer there for as long as I can remember.
And the name of the synagogue is?
Beth Habedra Shigrona.
And they're located?
They're located in the downtown district of Pittsburgh. Right?
Okay. Would you mind spelling the name of the synagogue?
Sure. B-E-T-H Hamedrash, H-A-M-E-D-R-A-S-H, H-A- G-O-D-O-L.
Would you like to tell us something about the synagogue?
Yes. Synagogue, Beth Emergency Google, serves a purpose, I feel, in the city of Pittsburgh. It is downtown, and very important when people from out of the city come and stay in Pittsburgh and, for instance, do not ride on the Sabbath. They have a place to attend Sabbath services, or if they wanted them, within walking distance. The synagogue is located in a location that you can walk to from any of the hotels in downtown Pittsburgh. That serves, I feel, a very important purpose for any Orthodox visitors that come to Pittsburgh. And there is a great tradition with that synagogue. It's the oldest Orthodox existing synagogue, 125 years old. And they had two very famous rabbis at Beth Habedra, Rabbi Ashinsky, who was very, very well known in Pittsburgh history, and Rabbi Kaplan, another very, very pious and learned rabbi. And this synagogue was located in the heart of the wholesale district. And all the merchants from the wholesale district used to attend the synagogue. It was a very highly attended synagogue at one time. And there's a feeling about certain families that they're going to have an attachment to that synagogue. It goes way back to their grandparents and their parents. And that's the feeling that I have.
Now, the synagogue has a very beautiful new building.
Yes.
Were your members able to build such a building?
Well, we were very, very fortunate, in as much as that was their the old location was part of where the redevelopment was going to occur. So they got the money for the new synagogue from the redevelopment authority. And the synagogue is debt-free. We have no mortgage and no debts whatsoever. And right now, there is enough money invested to have the synagogue continue financially for, I don't know how many years it can, as long as they want, they can continue.
Now, perhaps you'd like to tell me about your experiences with your family.
Sure.
That is, with your wife and your children. During your active working years, did you go together on vacations? Where did you go?
Yes, we did. First of all, my wife is very family-oriented, very much so. And when I married my wife, she had two daughters, as I said, 6 years old and 8 years old. And my relationship with them has always been never even a question in my mind. They're my daughters. We're very, very close. I got to his children at a very formative years, 6 and 8, and I was able to watch them grow up and grow with them. And our relationship is that way today. There's no difference in my feelings toward these two girls and my own natural self.
Then do you, those that are out of Pittsburgh, live elsewhere, do you visit them?
Yes, we visit them, they visit us, and we're constant.
And during their young years, did you go away together?
Yes, young years we used to go, every year we went to Beach Haven as a family, and anywhere we went as a family.
And Beach Haven, is
yes.
That's
on the coast.
On the coast.
New Jersey.
I see. And did you ever engage in any sports?
I played golf. Yes, I played golf.
Were you a good golfer?
No, I wasn't. I was what they call a hacker.
And what about your children? Are they sports-minded?
No. My grandchildren are very much so, but not my children.
Leonard, your grandchildren, of whom you're very proud, can you tell me what they do and what their talents are?
Well, they're all talented in their own way. My oldest grandchild, Brett, is quite an athlete. And I say that objectively, and not I am partial, but he's very well thought of as a up-and-coming baseball player. And I can see the other grandchildren going in that direction also, but they're much younger, and they're not as progressed as the 14-year-old is. But when they're 14 years old, I'm sure in their own fields they will be equally talented.
Well, now we have progressed pretty well, Leonard. Is there anything else about your of significance that you would like to tell us about your lifetime, your happiness, your disappointments? Is there anything that you would have done differently than you've done?
I thought about that, and one of the things that I say often, and which I truly strong about, if I had my life to live over again, there's a couple of things I would do differently. Not too many. Number one, as far as education is concerned, I would have wanted to go to, as much as I rebelled against studying Hebrew and the Jewish religion, I would have liked to have gone to a yeshiva. And the reason I'd like to have gone to the yeshiva, not to practice the religion as strictly as yeshiva people do, but I would like to have that education. I'd like to be able to read from the Torah, and I would like to know all customs and how to conduct all this. I know it partially, but I would really like to know a lot more about it. The rest of my lifestyle, I think I could have been a bigger thinker as far as making a living and financially. I think I have the talent for it, but I just got in the wrong direction and my thinkings were not big enough. My life has been a happy one, especially since I've been married and children and grandchildren, and I'm satisfied with my life. But I would like to have been a little better, like everyone else, I would like to have been a little better off financially. Outside of that, I had to live my life over again, except what I told you, that my education and my career, I would change.
Well, you look well, and you seem to feel
right.
Well, and
that,
you
that
speak
is
well.
Right there.
Have you been to Israel?
Yes, I have. I've been to Israel three times. Israel, before anybody, most people ever went to Israel. I was in Israel in, say, 1943. In the service, I was in Egypt, and we had a couple of days where we could go over to Israel before it was the state of Palestine. And then I went in 1960, right before I was married, I went on the first United Jewish Federation mission. First mission United Jewish Federation had. And then I went, after we were married, I wanted my wife to see Israel, and we went again.
Can you tell us about how it was early on, when you were in service, you went to Israel.
That was pretty hard to remember. There wasn't much then. 1960, they were already forming. But even in 1960, I remember one distinct thing. In 1960, we were in a town called Beersheba, which is very well known. And there were just few Bedouins around there at that time. There was no activity. I said to the men that were with me, I said, gentlemen, this time, this place someday will be a thriving, thriving community. Will you wait and see? And they sure, Beersheba is now a thriving city. I want to say that my biggest thrill in my first visit to my second visit to Israel, but I couldn't go to the wall in the first time, was being at the wall. That was my biggest thrill in being in this room, to go and pray at the wall.
If you could carry over your family so that they could be with you, would you like to live in Israel?
I don't think so, no. I like the life here. There's a lot of problems. Let's just go back a little bit, though. One time, when I went to Israel in 1960 on the mission, one of my project on that mission was to study Hebrew University, make a report on it. And I was thinking quite a bit about going to live in Israel to study at Hebrew University. And then shortly after that, her show ended, I met my present wife, Tamara, and that took care of me going to live in Israel.
Do you speak Yiddish?
Yes. I understand Yiddish, and I speak it perfectly. Yes.
And do you read Hebrew?
I read Hebrew, yes. So yes.
Can you translate it?
No, not very. I have an idea what it, you know, from looking at the other side, the English translation and the prayer books, I have a pretty good idea.
Leonard, are you capable of conducting services at the synagogue?
Yes, I am. And I've done that for quite some time, and I conduct both in the daily service, and I am able to conduct on the Sabbath service also, where I lead the congregation.
To regress just a bit, Leonard, can you tell us a little bit more about your early days, perhaps when you were a youngster, and your experiences in your family's business, what the problems were that you might have run into when you were working at Kaufman's, and later on when you were on the road? Perhaps you could tell us something about those days.
Right. Well, I'm just going to give you a little tidbits from all my entire life, little things that you remember. I remember when I was a young boy that going to Hebrew school. We didn't have a Hebrew school in Mount Washington, and the closest Hebrew school was in Beechview. And I went to Bethel in Beechview, and I remember after all, I was very young at that time, going on my own, taking two streetcars, winter and summer, and standing out in the freezing cold, waiting for the streetcar, and then transferring to another streetcar. And that was a daily routine. We did that every day and didn't question it. Your parents wanted you to do that. That's what you did. The question of anti-Semitism, I really never ran across any anti-Semitism in my entire life, strange to my saying. Living in Mount Washington, and I went to South Hills High School, there was no anti-Semitism there. And when I was in the service, I never encountered any anti-Semitism. Actually, in Kaufman's, there wasn't any. When I was on the road, I didn't really run into anti-Semitism because the merchants that I went to sell were all Jewish. So there was no anti-Semitism there. And I did a lot of things in my lifetime subconsciously. When my father passed away, two things that were his love that I never paid too much attention to, which he would have liked me to pay attention to. And I didn't do those things till after he passed away. I always felt that he was watching. Number one was in the business. My father was on his deathbed before I decided to go in the family business. And while he was living, I never showed any interest. And that's a regret also, because how much he would have enjoyed me working with him. And my father was a very religious man, extremely religious, and he and I rebelled in religion. And he would have never in a million years believed that I could, one day I would wind up in his synagogue and be able to get up and lead the congregation. It's very meaningful to me. And when I get up in it, I do lead. I think of my father all the time, how much pleasure he would have gotten out of that. One other thing about my religion that I'm pleased with is that my first grandson that was for mitzvah, volunteered that the only where he wouldn't be permissible was in my synagogue. And he did that to please me, and he thought that was very meaningful. And that was a great moment of my life. And now his brother, who has already declared 4 years from now, that that's where he wants to be permissible. And my other grandchildren all respect Orthodox religion because of me. They, my daughter's the same way. They're very respectful of my religion, which pleases me quite a bit. My days in the Army were very happy days. The day I went into the Army, I made up my mind that I was going to enjoy my experience. And I was never going to volunteer for anything, but everything I was going to enjoy. And for 4 years, that's true. They were very, very happy days. I had great experience. I saw the world and met a lot of interesting people. I did so many interesting things. I worked on the planning of the invasion of Normandy. They had a special encampment for that. And you had to be classified to be able to read those documents, to work on those documents. I enjoyed that a lot and met so many interesting people. Remember at that time, Lady Astor was my sponsor to go into the parliament, the English parliament. That was interesting. Book of Walter, of course, was very interesting. And just so many interesting things in the second.
Mr. Skirball, on behalf of the National Council of Jewish Women, Pittsburgh section in particular, and on behalf of both Bernice and I, we thank you very, very much for a very comprehensive and lucid story of your life and times. And we wish you well, and we're very grateful to you. Thank you.